Good morning. Glad to see you all here this morning for worship here at Zion. I believe there's a few announcements, but first I would like to start by saying a happy Mother's Day to all of you that are here celebrating with us, and we are enjoying that, you know, what all of our mothers have given all of us, and that we get to enjoy and that blessing. I know Leah and I will be heading to Fort Wayne today to visit with my own parents and just enjoying that time together with them because we get to share in that love. Okay, with that, let's go ahead and begin our opening, our worship with our opening hymn.
Jesus lives, the victory's won.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed,
by what we have done and by what we have left undone.
We have not loved you with our whole heart.
We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves.
We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment.
For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ,
have mercy on us,
forgive us, renew us,
and lead us,
so that we may delight in your will
and walk in your ways
to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have awakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated for our scripture readings. Our first reading is from Acts Chapter 20. Now from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials, what that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none among you whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things, I have shown that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading comes from Revelation chapter 7. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes? And from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. At that time, the feast of the dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple and the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated, and I invite the children forward for a brief children's message. Hi, Barrett. Hi, Violet. Good morning, guys. So, did you guys talk about the Good Shepherd in Sunday school today?
Yeah.
Did you? Okay. You noticed that was what our reading today was about, too?
Yeah.
And we talked about Jesus, who's going to lead us as our Good Shepherd, and he's got a big, strong, mighty voice. Now, what do you know about shepherds?
Because he takes care of all of us.
Yeah, he takes care of all of us.
The shepherd keeps them safe from wolves and bears and lions.
Yeah, right.
The devil is technically the wolf or the lion or the bear, and then we're the sheep.
Yeah, right, we're the sheep. And so what else do you know about sheep?
Sheep have white fur.
Yeah, they have white fur. What else about them? Yeah, they're kind of silly. They don't always do the smartest thing, do they? They get themselves stuck in bushes, and sometimes they get stuck in a ditch. I have a guy that I know, he raised some sheep, and they had just started doing this, and somehow it got into the ditch that was right behind their little pen, and it started raining, and it couldn't get out of the ditch, and so they got it out. And then the water was getting higher, so once it got out, but then it got back in, and he was going to get stuck in there, and he would have gotten drowned by the water. So they're not always the most smart things. They don't listen all the time. And so Jesus kind of leads us like sheep because we don't always see the dangers that are out there for us spiritually. That's what he's really saying about us, is that his voice is clear, right?
And Barrett's friend has sheep, and his friend, sheep, has had babies.
And has had babies? Wow. But, you know, do the sheep always listen to the voice of the shepherd? Are they trained to? No? I mean, they're supposed to, though, aren't they?
Stay in the barn.
Well, I know some sheep, they listen to the voice of the people that take care of them, though, pretty well. And if a stranger comes in there, they get kind of spooked, and they don't like it. And so that's what happens is Jesus talks about thieves and robbers, and we heard about that from what Paul was saying in Acts 2. And so when these sheep are getting scared, the robbers kind of are different voices trying to lead us away from Jesus. And there's a lot of things out there that people will try to tell us that Jesus is silly, we shouldn't believe in him, and all the different voices that try to take our attention away from him. But we have the comfort that Jesus holds us tightly to him, that we've been pulled tightly. And he says in our gospel text that we will never be snatched away, and that he's continuing to be our good shepherd. And how does he do that today?
Because we are his sheep.
We are his sheep, right? And so Jesus continues to shepherd us when we hear his word, that we get guided by it, and we know that he's going to give us eternal life. He said that we'll never perish, that he's going to hold us tight, and so that not even Satan can snatch us away, not those wolves, those bears, and tigers, and lions, oh my, right? They won't get us at all, but Jesus will hold us nice and tight to him, and we will be held there because we have that great faith that he won't let us fall astray. He's going to continue to have that voice being spoken to us here, doesn't he? That's our great hope, that we have the hope of the resurrection, that Jesus is our good shepherd even today. He's living and alive and will continue to give us that same promise of forgiveness and eternal life.
My friend Ram is not scared of a robber.
He's not scared of a robber.
He ran the robber over the wind.
Why don't we close with a word of prayer then? Okay, well, gracious Heavenly Father, you have brought us here together to hear your word, and we give thanks that you are our good shepherd. And that as our good shepherd, you have a strong and mighty voice that leads us and guides us so that we do not fall astray. And that even though sometimes we mishear you or we get frustrated with your word, we know that you continue to make sure that we will be brought back to the fold so that we do not fall astray into Satan's traps for us. All of this we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Okay, you guys can go back to your seats. Thanks for coming up. At this time, we will sing our hymn of the day.
The Lamb, the Lamb, O Father, where's the sacrifice? Faith sees, believes, God will provide the Lamb of price. Worthy is the Lamb whose death makes me his own. The Lamb is reigning on his throne. The Lamb, the Lamb, one perfect final offering. Lamb, the Lamb, let earth join heaven his praise to sing. Worthy is the Lamb whose death makes me his own. The Lamb is reigning on his throne. The Lamb, the Lamb, has wayward sheep their shepherd kissed. His will on our behalf the law to fill. Worthy is the Lamb whose death makes me his own. The Lamb is reigning on his throne. He sighs, he dies, he takes my sin and wretchedness. He lives, forgives, he gives his own righteousness. Worthy is the Lamb whose death makes me his own. The Lamb is reigning his throne. He rose, he rose, my heart and thanks now overflows. Song prolong till every heart to him belong. Worthy is the Lamb whose death makes me his own. The Lamb is reigning on his throne.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Have you ever wondered what the voice of God sounds like? I mean, we know Jesus spoke in these confusing parables, and he spoke about himself, that he was going to die and raise from the dead, and all these things that he spoke of in his earthly ministry. But what does his voice sound like? Is it like this great booming voice from like the Ten Commandments? Well, maybe. But if you lived in New Haven, Indiana, some would tell you to look no further, because if you heard the voice of Pastor Shoemaker from the pulpit, you would think you heard the voice of God. And everybody at Emmanuel in New Haven recognized that voice. He had this great voice that kept your mind captivated during his sermon. He'd have this booming voice from the pulpit, and You'd just think that he had been trained to be a preacher his whole life, the way he sounded. And so you could walk into a room and not even know that Pastor Shoemaker was there, and you'd know he's there, because you could hear his big old belly laugh, ho, 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 across the hall or all the way down on the other side of the room, and you would know he's there. He was that recognizable. And that was a great, great hope and joy for the people there at Emmanuel. And I grew up hearing him. He's been retired now for a number of years, so I don't know that the younger kids would know his voice anymore, but I sure remember it. I remember in daily chapels or chapel at Central, I got so used to that voice, and many people at Central knew his voice, and a lot of people at Emmanuel could still tell you all about how loud he was to keep your attention that captivated. But the point is that you heard Pastor Shoemaker, but you didn't always necessarily were listening, but you heard him. You knew he was there. And he was just that recognizable to everybody that you didn't even have to see him to know he was there. And I think that's really the same thing with the voice of the Lord, that it's recognizable to us. We don't have to hear Jesus literally. We don't have to hear the word of God or know exactly how he sounds, but he has trained us as faithful sheep of his flock to know his voice. And we recognize it. And it's clear to us because he continues to feed us that same hope over and over and over again. And so we hear and we listen and we are attentive to all he has to offer us in his word, because we know that it is the voice of the shepherd that continues to lead and guide the flock to this day. Although our text actually shows us that sometimes, though, that we hear the shepherd's voice, but we don't always listen. There are some that this happens. And that's what the crowd is doing as they said this to Jesus. How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. And so the reality is at this point in time, Jesus had said time and time again who I am and what he had come to do, and these people just had been hearing him, but they weren't really listening. And so they know what Jesus had said. And I mean, how much more plainly could he have put it when he healed the sick and cleansed the blind and gave all of those lame people the ability to walk again? And he told people time and time again that he was the Christ. He is the new Moses. He came to fulfill the law on our behalf. How many times did he have to say it? How much more plain could it be? And yet they still weren't listening. They just went on about their lives. But now there's actually something interesting, though, as they say this a little bit more bluntly than our text reflected. That first question, how long will you keep us in suspense, can also be translated a little bit more pointedly of how long will you take hold of our lives, or almost think of it as how long are you going to keep us captive here, Jesus? And I mean, to put it more smoothly, they're saying, how long are you going to waste our time? They're fed up with him talking. They're tired of all the confusing speech and the parables and all the things that he had to say. And so it wasn't as if they were in suspense and every word, they're sitting there waiting for everything he had to say. No, they're actually fed up with everything he's done so far, and they don't want to listen any longer. And so his voice has now become this hindrance to them, and they're becoming indifferent toward everything he has said, both previously, and now they're saying, you know what? Let's get on with our lives. Just give it to us straight. Yes or no, are you the Christ? And his answer is still a bit cryptic and confusing, because he says, I've already told you. And they don't care because they think it's a waste of their time and it's just impractical. Why do they want to meditate on everything Jesus has said? We don't need to. I just want a quick and easy answer to get on with my life and continue on. Now, can we not think of examples like this in our own lives or in the world around us, in our culture, where the Good Shepherd's voice becomes indifferent to those that hear it? And just at a glance, our culture is full of people that cannot stand to be guided by the words of Jesus. They don't want to take it seriously. They don't actually care about it. And at the end of the day, they also don't especially want to take it to heart and study it very thoroughly, because who cares? If he's not God, I don't need to know. And they, like the crowd Jesus spoke of in our text, just want to be told what they want to hear, so they can continue to live their lives how they have been, so they don't have to change much of anything. And that's not even to mention all the many different voices that vie for our attention, like all the different voices that try to lead us astray at times. And so the cultural powers that be push against the teachings of Scripture, seeking to replace the voice of the shepherd with their own. And so these are the thieves seeking to lure the flock away. They teach that biblical marriage is invaluable, that brutish words are permissible, and sheep are just blind followers, and sheep referring to you and me. But follow their voice, they'll say. They've got the truth, and that truth, you're not blind sheep if you follow them, but don't follow the voice that will actually is meant to shepherd you and guide your soul to eternal life. But I think we too can be indifferent, maybe not so far as this. I don't think that we're going to be so boisterous to be in full-on unbelief because we're Christians, right? But do you ever maybe get impatient during church every once in a while? I mean, like, think about some of those Sundays where those really long readings are in there. I mean, we had a few that are a bit longer today, but I mean in, like, really long. You have those services that you have, like, a reading that's almost a full chapter or more of Scripture, then you have to sit there and you have to listen and meditate upon it. How do you stay captivated by that? It just goes on and on, so you get a bit fidgety and you're checking your watch. Wow, it's been 5 minutes already. Goodness. And then you go, well, I want church to be over so I can get home for the big game this weekend, or maybe I need to get home to do some stuff around the house, but goodness sake, this is taking forever. How can I meditate on those words? And at the same time, we also fall into the trap of doing this in our daily lives, I think, being indifferent toward the words of Scripture, not meditating upon our Lord's words daily and in prayer. And so we go, well, there's so much stuff I can do in my life. What about getting these chores done? What about doing other things that are more important? And so we don't actually meditate on the words that Jesus has left us. And so we, in a similar fashion like these people in our text, want like an abbreviated Reader's Digest rundown of Jesus so life can just keep moving on, because it just seems almost impractical to take these words to heart and meditate upon them, because I already know Jesus is my Savior. That's enough, right? And it is. But why don't we want to know more? We can take it to heart and have it memorized, and it becomes a part of us and becomes the most important reality, knowing that our sins are forgiven and that we have eternal life in Christ Jesus. And now, we should emphasize, though, the importance of hearing Christ's words clearly, and that hearing that good shepherd's voice clearly, listening to his voice, really protects his flock. And so Jesus said himself, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." A shepherd trains his sheep. I told the kids this. The shepherd trains his sheep to listen to the voice. And I know a few of you have had sheep in the past, and you know that they get a bit averse to people that don't actually be around them very frequently. And so they try to stay away from them, but there's maybe 2-3 people tops that they really like and they'll listen to. But outside of that, they're averse to everyone else, and they're stubborn and kind of dumb sometimes. And so they're supposed to be trained to know that the voice of the shepherd will protect them from predators and stop them from getting snagged in a bush or stuck in a rut or a ditch. But they don't always listen all that well. And when they hear the voice, they're supposed to follow because they have been trained to know it's going to lead them to safety. But, I mean, it comes to no surprise that they don't always listen. And because they're not listening, the voice of their shepherd then doesn't lead them out of harm's way, and it can easily become this great danger that they can't see because they're just not aware of their surroundings. And this can end up in all sorts of bad things. We know that predators can get them. They get stuck in a bush, and as I mentioned, stuck in a ditch, and you don't even know that there's too much water coming up to drown you. They're not always that great at listening to the voice of the shepherd. And if they become indifferent to those words and don't listen at all, it becomes a very present danger to them, especially for the rest of their life. And this is why the people of God are so often compared to sheep, that the Lord says that we as Christians are to follow the voice that he has gave us in Scripture. And when we hear Holy Scripture, we are there to hear it so that it will guide us and lead us out of the pangs of life. But sometimes we do stray, not to the same extent of, I think, full-on unbelief, but we mishear or we get impatient with it, as we talked about, that really long reading. But the voice of the shepherd is surely there to guide us clearly. It's clear, concise, and we know what it says. And I'm sure you've all heard the words, "the devil is in the details," that phrase. Well, that's kind of true about Scripture too, that if you are not clearly looking at what the Scripture says, and if you don't clearly listen to the voice of the shepherd, things can arise that are going to lead us astray. And so what Jesus is saying is that those small details actually matter, and that Satan can take what was once a clear meaning and manipulate it ever so slightly by changing just the smallest detail, so that then it is enough to be a stumbling block to those that are not trained to see it. And so to the untrained sheep, that are not very attentive to the voice of the shepherd, this can be a great danger. It can lead them astray and could maybe make them vie more towards those voices of the current age or their own voice that they don't want to listen to the shepherd any longer. And of course, there's also, I think, another way this takes form. Sadly, we know of the many divisions among our church bodies that we have all these different many churches that are out there, and I'm sure we have family and friends that are a part of these different churches that are not the same as ours, and they have different teachings. And with that, we sometimes might think, oh, those small details are like splitting fine hairs. It doesn't matter. A Christian is a Christian is a Christian. And that is true. I mean, yes, they're all saved. We're not saying that, but we also should pay attention to those finer details. And it's not because we want to flaunt how Lutheran we are, or how German we are, or how right we are, and it's certainly not to say that it's only Lutheran Church Missouri Synod card holders that are going to be saved, but it's because that what our Lord says actually matters. And so if we disagree on something, we should take that seriously. If someone doesn't agree with us on baptism, that is something to think about. If we don't agree on the Lord's Supper, it's something to think about. Those things are important for us to take to heart, not because we want to wag it in their face that you're wrong, but because we take our Lord's word seriously and we want to be sure that what he has said and what we believe actually lines up with what his voice has guided us to believe and what Scripture itself says. And so that sort of attention to detail actually guards us against full-on unbelief, knowing that the words of our shepherd are something we can meditate on our whole lives. I mean, there's a reason that guys like me could take as many classes as there are out there, and I still wouldn't know everything there is in the Bible. You can spend your whole life reading and digesting it and taking it to heart, but there is so much more to it than anybody can ever fully grasp in their own mind. And so we can continue to meditate upon that. And really, every Sunday we gather, we're doing that. And so when we hear the word of our shepherd and we hear his voice, it should hold our attention. It should keep us in suspense. Maybe not in the same way as the people in our text where they're actually wagging their finger at Jesus, stop talking to me, just get to the end. And I don't know that I want you guys on the edge of your seats with your eyes bugged out looking at me like that. That might get a bit weird for all of us. And I don't know if your German blood will let you do that anyways. But the point is that attention to detail actually matters. And that the words of Jesus, if they matter that much, we should take them to heart and digest them and take them to be the wisdom from God himself. And so every detail in Scripture is there to be this clear guide for us throughout our whole lives, knowing that the hope of the resurrection is ours, and that is actually life-changing and something that should shape our whole life. And so the goal is not to be arrogant and beat our own chest and show how right we are, but it is to know that the shepherd's voice is clear and that it provides even greater comfort in that clarity. Because if we know that our baptism unites us to his death and resurrection, we can return to that hope throughout our whole life. If we know that the Lord's Supper is also a receiving of his body and blood and the forgiveness he won for us at Calvary, that is Jesus encountering us in a very real way that he doesn't in the Old Testament, even for those people. We get Jesus in ways that have not been until the church, and he comes to us freely and offers us this forgiveness that he won at Calvary. And so it provides us this even greater comfort throughout life, knowing that he has put these eternal blessings into our lives in ways that we couldn't really even recognize. And so that's why the clearness of his voice truly matters. And through all those things that he has given us in word and sacrament, it is him in wrapping his arms around us even tighter so that not even Satan himself can snatch us away. And so the voice of the Good Shepherd is strong and mighty, and it provides clarity on how to live our lives. It might not sound like the sheep, or it might not sound like the voice of Pastor Shoemaker or whoever you fill in the blank with, or someone from the Ten Commandments who voiced God there, but all faithful pastors do share all that Jesus has revealed in Scripture, and that is the voice of the shepherd. All those who are faithful to Scripture are giving you that same voice that guided the disciples there in that first century to know the things of eternal life. And so the Good Shepherd who has wrapped us in his arms has guided us with the words of Scripture so that we will never perish and have eternal life. And we listen intently upon his words because it is in them that we have an even greater comfort in the clarity and that we know it is the wisdom of God for us for eternity. And it is through that voice that he has protected us from every false voice that threatens the flock and even all the wolves that might seek to take away us or our brothers and sisters in the flock. And so this Easter season and the rest of our lives, we can rest assured that the Good Shepherd continues his shepherding among us so that no one, and not even death itself, can snatch us away from his arms. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia.
In the name of Jesus, amen. At this time, we'll gather our tithes and our offerings.
Shepherd is whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. Streams of living waters flow, a ransomed soul he leadeth, and with the verdant pastures grow, with food celestial feed.
Please rise for prayer. Father in heaven, we give thanks that you sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior, recalling this Easter season that he did not remain in the grave, but is risen from the dead. This Easter, fill our hearts with the same hope of the resurrection, knowing that because Christ has been raised from the dead, that we too will be raised in the life to come, and that he continues to guide us as his good shepherd. We pray for the whole church, that you may uphold and strengthen her in this world, raising up those who faithfully proclaim and teach your word. We pray especially for Zion as they go through this vacancy. Grant us hearts of thanksgiving, answering our prayers that another vicar might serve Zion in the coming year. For the members of this congregation, O Lord, we give thanks. Bless their time in worship, that they might be filled and nurtured in their faith, knowing that you offer them great and abundant mercy of the things of eternity. We also lift before you those who are sick or struggling with long-term afflictions. We especially pray for Dwayne, Don and Alice, Margaret, Bernetta, Bill, Gary, Bryston, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Brandy, Heather, Gary, Michael, Ray, Chelsea, Norma, Ron, Holly, Betty, Leo, Marisol, Tom, Keith, and Alan. Lord, grant that they might receive compassion and healing and give them your peace, knowing that you, as their shepherd, continue to guide them. Lastly, O Lord, we pray for this nation, that you might bring about changes in the hearts of man, turning them to your word and bring us peace. We ask especially that you might guide all in authority, especially our President Donald, leading him to make godly decisions that support and defend your word. Trusting in your promises, O Lord, we boldly pray the prayer you taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord look upon us with his favor and give us his peace.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn.
Lord, take my hand and lead me upon life's way. Direct, protect, and feed me from day to day. Without your grace and favor, I go. Take my hand, O Savior, and lead the way. Tempest rages, I need not fear, for you, the rocks of ages, are always near. By your side above.